And I am at, well, I'm in Johnston, Iowa, and I am at Ag Careers Ag and Food HR Roundtable, and I'm with Eric Spell, who's the president. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, Eric, welcome to Iowa. I hear that you've actually, this is not the first time you've held this event here in Des Moines.
No, in the 11 years we've held the Pioneer DuPont has been the host three times. So it was about 6 years ago that we were last here. So
how have you noticed the event? I mean, what I saw was I walked into a full house today. So has this event really gained momentum over the past several years?
It has. One thing that's been unique this year over previous years and maybe even last year, companies tend to use this as a spot to bring together, if they have a multi HR office, they have people in different offices, they use this as a meeting point. And so companies have brought, we have several companies here this year that have 5 to 6 members of their team together. So that's one thing. And we have an increase in 2-year schools and 4-year schools over previous years. So I think we have 160 industry representatives from employers, and then about nearly 50 colleges and universities.
Well, it's an interesting event because one of the things I've been hearing over and over again is that the ag industry is short on talent. And, you know, for people who are listening to this interview, let's put that in perspective. What kind of talent does this industry need?
Well, there's 2 levels of talent that this industry needs. We need experienced professionals. There's going to be a lot of retirement. A lot of companies are concerned. It's estimated that there's going to be 1 million professionals retire over the next 3 years in agriculture alone. So when we employ nearly 25 million people in the U.S., the ag industry does, and according to our research, and survey roughly 70 to 80 companies a year, and so when we narrow that down, we can easily see that there could be nearly 1 million people within agriculture retire. So that's concerning on this experienced talent. How do we backfill that? The other side is the sheer numbers of graduates coming out of universities. While the enrollments are up, and that's great, it doesn't meet the number of jobs for starting graduates. It's almost half. We're meeting 50% of the actual capacity that is in demand. So, and then you go to internships. This year, we had over 200 internship listings on our site in April. Never have I seen that before. So there's a shortage of students looking an internship. Those positions will be advertised here in the next few weeks. They'll be highly recruited after. So students have numerous options, and to land the prized internships, those will be taken by Thanksgiving.
So are you seeing then in this industry, as they come together and talk about ways to recruit talent, both you're saying experienced and those out of college, are they starting to think a little differently on how to recruit these people into the industry, or do you feel that they're still sort of doing the same thing over and over again?
Well, they've got to continue doing some of the same things that they've done. But there's an increased interest in recruiting at the high school level. So there's going to be, like at the National FFA Convention coming up here in October, with the Ag Career Network that we're helping support along with National FFA, the attractive part of that is that employers will be able to identify with students digitally. There's nearly 500,000 high school students every year. 90,000 graduate. We'll be able to track where those 90,000 high school ag students go upon high school graduation. We haven't been able to do that before, and employers are really excited about the fact that National FFA, through the Ag Career Network, we'll be able to do that. So that's something we hadn't had before. and that should help. But we're also looking at unconventional sources such as the military to help fill the gap, because military talent, returning veterans from their conflicts, their service overseas, have transferable talent that we can capitalize within agriculture.
That's really one of the things that Ag Careers is really doing is, I don't want to say you're doing the work for the HR industry per se, but you are helping that industry retain and recruit talent all the way from now high school up until even people who are changing careers.
Well, Dan mentioned it in his presentation, the Director of Business Development for Pioneer today. He said we need to expand the bell curve, and we need to look for unconventional sources of talent. And so the military is a good example of that. And also what's been going on for the last few years is in urban areas, there's high school FFA chapters erupting, and there's a great source of talent in that area. So those are two good examples of unconventional ways. And so within iCareers.com, our job is to help broaden that source of talent. And if we don't do that, we're not doing our clients justice.
Well, speaking about doing your clients justice, you have just released the preliminary findings of a survey. I believe you surveyed close to 70 different agribusinesses across the country to talk about, basically talk about salaries, to talk about where they're getting talent, that type of thing. So what is your preliminary results finding? How competitive, let's start off with salaries, how competitive is the ag industry in terms of salaries?
So salaries across agriculture on average are going to increase between 3% and 4%. That's different from the general economy. So that's a good thing. And in some areas where there's performance-based incentives, that could be upwards of 10%. So people within ag right now, can, as long as they're doing their job and meeting their performance goals, they should be able to be pleased with what their pay increases or compensation. We've also surveyed, what we want to display is the benefits are important. It's just not the take-home pay, but what are the health care benefits and the fringe benefits associated with the compensation. And so we're going to be releasing some information relative to that. Employment numbers are not going to decrease. In fact, 64% of the employers that we surveyed said that their employment base is going to at least remain the same or increase. So there was only 15% of the employers that we surveyed said that they were going to plan to decrease, but they were probably associated with the dairy or beef sectors right now. So majority of all ag sectors are hitting on all cylinders.
Now, what have you found in terms of, there's talk every day about the fact that in 37 years, agriculture has to feed double the population, and we have very limited land to do that, and water. So what does that mean from a professional perspective? Is that going to translate to jobs that need more science skills, more research-based skills? Is it going to translate to more jobs in general? How do you see that sort of playing out?
Well, if anyone within ag education, a parent or a student, wants to choose two fields that's going to be the hottest career fields within agriculture, it's plant sciences or agronomy. And it all results in around yieldage and how to produce more with less. In other words, water is a concern in certain parts of the U.S. So drought-resistant crops is a huge thing, not only here in the U.S., but across other parts of developing worlds. And yield and performance relative to increasing yields. And all of that is around plant sciences, genetics, plant genetics, research scientists, and agronomists. Those careers, a student will not go wrong choosing that career field. So the demands on those occupations have never been higher than they are now.
Now, you mentioned that your new program to help get veterans involved in the agriculture industry. If a veteran's just come back to the States, can they contact agcareers.com to get some help? And, you know, how do I get into the industry or maybe make connections to some of these companies who are looking for their talents?
So the initiative is called Ag Warriors, and We have assumed the responsibility of that from the National Agri Center, International Agri Center in California, the home of the World Ag Expo. They started it and they had an overwhelming response. What we're going to do is we're creating a space within the site. Today, a returning military vet could come in, post their resume. Their resume will be flagged with the Ag Warriors logo. Employers within our clients within the industry can go on and search specific to Ag Warriors. So they can get connected to that way. We're going to also in the next 90 days help returning veterans understand what are the most common transferable skills and occupations that they can connect with within agriculture. And so simply today, yes, by contacting Ag Careers, they can set up an account, they can post their resume, and they can apply to the jobs that they see. Many of the jobs that are listed on Ag Careers today, in fact, 35% don't require an ag education. Jobs like logistics, accounting, there's even paralegal, there's even attorneys, there's nurses. Many reservists that leave the U.S. for overseas missions come back. There's jobs there for them within agriculture on agcareers.com and not necessarily requiring an ag background.
Now, are you limited, Eric, to helping agricultural companies based in the U.S. and just employing people in the U.S., or is this a global initiative that you have going on here in terms of really matching that talent and encouraging that talent, you know, to these companies?
So we have, on any given day, about 4,500 jobs listed on the site. 30% of those would be in Canada. About 12% of those would be in Australia and New Zealand. And another 12% would be throughout Europe. Occasionally there are positions in South America and even in Africa and other nations. But 75% of the positions that are listed on the site today would be in the U.S. or Canada.
So it sounds like, based on the fact that you have a sellout here, you have two choices, Eric. Either you're going to have to get people to register in the next month for next year, or you're going to have to get bigger space. So are you planning, seeing the growth in this industry and this event, are you planning on trying to have a bigger event next year?
Right now, we probably will grow it a bit, but it is a first come, first serve. And so I don't want it to get too big that it loses its intimacy and the networking is almost impossible. So I can't see us having more than 250 people come. So I look forward to the day when we have to close registration June 1st.
Wonderful. Well, let me be a part of that. Great. Thanks, Eric. And we'll check back with you. You know, the event still has two more days to go.
Yes, we're looking forward to it.
We'll check back.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Is that all right?